Do note that the views expressed in Thinking It Through do not necessarily represent the views of Good News Community Radio. The views expressed in Thinking It Through are meant to serve as a challenge to your beliefs, whatever they may be, and to see how the Christian worldview stands in light of other worldviews.
Welcome to Thinking It Through, and we are beginning a relevant study of the Book of Daniel as apocalyptic literature, the kind of literary genre that surfaces when the people of God, the faith community, face trials and tribulations at the hands of secular kingdoms and forces. It is a revelation of the ultimate triumph of God's kingdom over all kingdoms of men. In spite of the fierceness of the world empires, they will be subdued by the awesome power of God's reign over the hearts of man. Here's Dr. Gregory Donation, resident minister at Juvenati Mission, in part one of Facing the Furnace.
Hi folks, welcome to a discussion on the book of Daniel. I'd like to title the series Facing the Furnace. And one of the reasons why I'd like to call it that theme is because, just like in Daniel's day, which is the book that we will be studying, the believers faced a fiery furnace as part of their testimony and their dedication to the Lord. And we are doing exactly the same thing in the time in which we are living. We are studying the book of Daniel. Now, Daniel would not have been regarded as a prophet, and this would not have been a prophecy in the technical sense of the word, even though it is placed in the midst of the collection of books called the prophets. However, in Matthew 24, verse 15, the Lord Jesus referred to Daniel as the prophet Daniel. He was actually a kind of a ruler or a leader. Today we would say a politician, but somebody who served in the civil service. He was in the king's government. So that makes him something on the same level as a businessman, somebody who's active in civil affairs. But it was during his time in Babylon that God had used him in a very special way so that he would unfold God's purposes for the people of his time and in the future, preparing the way for the Lord Jesus to come. So the first thing we notice about the book of Daniel is that it is situated amongst the prophets, even though technically he was not a prophet. Some would say it's because of all the interesting and correct predictions that he made about what would be unfolding in the future. But it's important for us to know that prediction is not prophecy, and prophecy is not prediction. So the prophets were not people who were fortune tellers who were specializing in predicting the future. That's not what the word prophet means. That's not what the word prophecy means. It actually means to boldly forthtell, not foretell, but forthtell the word of God. You would find a prophet surfacing every time a nation went astray and they started sinning and turning from the ways of God. Then a prophet would be there to call them back to God. You get the same idea when John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness. His message was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The prophetic voice had been silent for just on 400 years after the last prophet spoke. And as a result of that, the people were, you can say, leaderless in a certain sense and directionless. And they became wayward. It was as if although the law was severely and strictly observed, the people were lawless in their hearts. And then a prophet will appear to call people back to God, to point out their erring ways, where they have failed, and to bring them back to God. But in the process, there are many things that unfold and develop. We will regard the book of Daniel as a piece of literature that was placed during the time of the exile. Now, there are many literary critics who stumble over the fact that the historical analysis given in Daniel is so precise and so correct. And they say, well, it must have been written afterwards, after the facts. So they would call it post-exilic literature, probably compiled, according to them, in the interim before the coming of the Lord Jesus into this world. And the reason why they want to date it later is because for them they cannot imagine that there could be such a supernatural declaration of historical events that unfolded the way that it did, the kingdoms that followed one after the other. So you have higher criticism that would like to deny the book of Daniel its rightful place as exilic literature. They would regard it as post-exilic literature. Their God is very small. They can't imagine that God could share with his people the historic unfolding of history the way that he did. So let's sum up again. Daniel is not a prophet, although he was called a prophet by the Lord Jesus in Matthew 24:15. His book is found amongst the prophets, even though it's not in that sense prophetic literature. If we have to give a theme to this book, we would say that it highlights the sovereignty of God over the nations. God is sovereign, and he rules not just Israel, but all the nations. We are looking at Daniel explaining to us, expressing clearly the sovereignty of God over the nations. As I said, not only over Israel, but he controls the events internationally. Events may unfold as they do, but God is in control. It may not always appear as if God is in control, because sometimes God allows the nations to go their way, because ultimately if he gives them enough rope, they will hang themselves. But whatever happens, it all plays out as God wills and as God has decreed. You will notice, for example, in Daniel chapter 7, verse 21, that it speaks of war on the saints. That particular verse says, Daniel was saying in verse 19, I wanted to know the true meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, and most terrifying with its iron teeth and bronze claws, the beast that crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. I also wanted to know about the 10 horns on its head and about the other horn that came up before which 3 of them fell, the horn that looked more imposing than the others and that had eyes and a mouth that spoke boastfully. And Daniel says, as I watched, this horn was waging war against the saints and defeating them. Maybe it's good at this point to highlight the fact that the kind of literature that Daniel consists of is apocalyptic literature. Now, the book of Revelation, certain portions of the book of Zechariah, they contain a kind of speech, a kind of writing which is different from normal literary genre. It's a kind of writing that surfaces whenever the community, the faith community, the people of God are under duress. When they are facing persecution and hardship, then the servants of God who function at that time, they produce what we call apocalyptic literature. Daniel is an example of apocalyptic literature. So the reason why the book of Daniel is written in the way that it is written is because verse 21 says, the horn was waging war against the saints. So this is a book about war against the saints, or war on the saints. We find that the same verse or the same idea surfaces in the book of Revelation. In Revelation 12 verse 17 and chapter 13 verse 7, we will see that in this world, the Lord Jesus said, we would have persecution, we would have hardships, the faith community will always face a threat on the part of the body of unbelief that has come about in this world. So let me just recap. The book of Revelation is apocalyptic literature. It's a very specialized kind of literature and therefore has to be interpreted according to the principles that govern apocalyptic literature. Therefore, if you look at this book, you would have to be aware that the book will have divisions and partitions and be constructed in a certain way, because that is how apocalyptic literature is actually written. Now, it's about surviving in a pagan, permissive, and perverse culture, which was what you had in Babylon, so foreign to the Jewish culture. So a prophet would emerge and would be facing what we know today as cancel culture, terrorism, like we have now, woke society, and you see the cultural values and norms around all crumbling, the presence of crime, the conscience that disappears, the norms and ethics that are compromised. This is all part of the milieu, the background, and the situation that you would find emerging in a time where apocalyptic literature fulfills a prophetic role that it does here in the book of Daniel. Now, next time, we will look at the technical structure of the book. We will see how it is put together. It has a specific structure, and the structure facilitates the understanding of the book, helps us to know how to analyze it and how to get the best understanding from it. Now, the book is written obviously in Hebrew, but also certain portions of it is written in Aramaic. You would find, for example, in chapter 1, it's written in Hebrew, but then the next couple of chapters would be written in Aramaic, and that is followed by some more chapters that are written in Hebrew, and it concludes in that way. So we look forward then once again, when we meet next time, that we would analyze and explain the technical structure of the book of Daniel. So from me, it's goodbye. God bless. Until next time.
That was Dr. Gregory Donation in part one of Facing the Furnace, a relevant study of the book of Daniel as apocalyptic literature. Join us again for the Fireside Chat tomorrow, same time, only on Good News Community Radio.
If you have any feedback or queries regarding Thinking It Through, please email it to thinkingitthrough@gncr.org.za. You can find the live stream, GNCR mission statements, and more at gncr.org.za.